forgive me. So looking around at our church, looking around at the mothers in our church, I don't see a bunch of mothers that have nothing to do and are bored all their days and they sit twiddling their thumbs. We have a bunch of busy mothers and we have a full front bench. That bench is not sparse and I'm talking to two kids. That bench is full. There's lots of work to be done. Most of our mothers here are in the thick of it. It's a way of saying life is busy. There's a saying, the years are short and the days are long, and I think that's fairly accurate. I'm not a mommy, but I do know one quite well. The years do seem to fly by, but boy, the days can crawl by. So this sermon is geared towards those mothers, which is only 6 or 7 ladies, but I think that those are important ladies in our church. And I don't want to single them out by name, but I'd like to have this be an encouraging time for them and the load that they do carry. There's also something with Restless as well. It's not just youth guys, don't tune out. Youth girls, you're not out of this either. It's not just for you. It's not just for the mothers. There are lots of things that I don't know in life. I don't know the stresses that a mother with teenage children goes through. I've never experienced that. No clue. I don't know what it feels like to have adult children making choices that you don't approve of. I don't know that level of anxiety or pain or don't know that. I don't know what it feels like to want to be married with children and it isn't happening. I've never experienced that. I would like to empathize, but I just don't know what that's like. But I do know that everyone here, no matter what stage of life you're in, is called to servanthood. Does not, married or single, kids, no kids, does not change the fact that we're all called to servanthood. You do not need to be a mother to be a servant, but you can hardly be a mother without being a servant. Motherhood and servanthood go right hand in hand. But a good father is a servant, and a good leader is a servant. A good employee is a servant. Servanthood is essential for most parts of life. Saying that, I'm going to repeat over and over and over again this sermon, that basically what I want you to get is a servant's life is not about themselves. A servant serves. A servant's life is not a life of selfishness. You can turn to Philippians 2. When you think of a classic section on servants, this is where my mind went to. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11. We'll kind of hop through this verse by verse. So I'll read verses 1 and 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So verse 1 is kind of full of rhetorical questions. Basically, if there's anything good about Christ, if there's any love between us, that's a yes, yes, and yes. All those questions are answered yes. If that's true, then verse 2, fulfill ye my joy. Fill me with joy. What's going to fill him with joy? That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So fulfill his joy by having the same mind. Now, we all see the world a little differently. I do not see the world the same as everybody else. Is that what Paul means here? You all be little clones and think exactly the same, behave exactly the same. That's not reality, and that will never be. So what is he talking about, being of the same mind? If you flip down to verse 5, I believe that gives you your answer. So this is the mind that he's talking about in verses 3 and 4. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So it was a little unclear to me if verse 5 is referring to the rest of the chapter or the previous two, but I'm going to approach it as summing up the previous two verses. So this is the mind that we should have. This is the mindset. This is how you should think. This is what you should value. Mindsets determine a lot in life. What you think is what you do. So this is the mind of a servant. Jump back to verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. So that's the mindset we should have. We should have lowliness of mind. We need humility. If you're going to be a servant, you need to have humility. Imagine a servant in a palace that the king says, bring me a sandwich. And the servant says, get your own sandwich. It's like, that's not a servant. A servant does not have pride and is cocky and arrogant. There's no strife or vainglory. A servant serves others. A servant does not serve himself. That's not what a servant is. The servant doesn't say, go do it yourself. Or, who are you to tell me what to do? You're a servant. A servant serves, and the servant doesn't have pride. A servant's life is not about themselves. Let each esteem other better than themselves. That's saying at the end of verse 3, what does that actually mean? What does it mean for me to esteem others as better than myself? So one way of looking at it is we should think of ourselves as mud and everyone else is so much better and more competent than we are. And that, I believe, is a little bit of false humility because the truth is that some of us are better at other things than other people. I am better at putting shingles on than Amy is. I'd call that arrogance, but I am. And Amy is better in the kitchen than I am. Zeke is better with a chainsaw than I am. He doesn't have to say, I'm the worst person with a chainsaw ever. Aaron's so much better. No, I'm not. There is reality that some of us are better at stuff than other people. And that is just the way it is. I don't think we need to live with a false view of ourselves that we are so bad and everyone else is so good. Now, those were all physical examples of work and those things, but I don't think we need to view other people as so much more holy than us. I don't think that's what this verse is saying. But I should be looking out for other people's welfare above my own. I shouldn't just be all about me, me, me. There should be some serious thoughts about others, 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 not just living life for myself. A servant's life is not about themselves. If we're going to be a servant, we need to think about others. We can serve. Everyone is serving something. We can serve ourselves, or we can serve others. A true servant is not one that lives life serving self. A true servant is one who serves others. Verse 4 reiterates that. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So we are to be a little bit bigger than just our own families. When you just worry about your own family and focus on that, that is good. And that is I believe that is a mother's primary calling, is her own family. But if I spend my time only on my family, my house, my business, my hobbies, who am I serving? That's a question. A servant's life is not all about them. A servant serves others. I do think we need to be bigger than just our family. The primary calling of a mother, I do want to repeat, the primary calling of a mother is her own family. My primary job is a handyman. That is not the only thing I do. Primarily, mothers care for their own families, but I think mothers do need to be a little bit bigger. There are other things that mothers can do, and mothers can impact others. So how do the mothers here in this congregation who live busy lives and don't have hours and hours in their day to spend encouraging others, how is that practical? I can barely keep my family fed and laundried and everything. How is it practical to spend time serving others? Does not take that long to write an encouraging note and slip it in the mailbox. I think that can be done. Doesn't take that long to type out a text, hey, it's your birthday, I'm thinking of you today. Those are tiny little things. Baby meals, that's a way of serving some other people. And looking around, there's going to be some baby meals coming up. Well, there's ample opportunities. Ladies Bible study. I think that's an important thing that the ladies in this church do. There's a time to get together and encourage one another and learn with each other. It doesn't need to be just one more thing to do and busy, busy, busy. It can be a time of intentionally encouraging one another and serving. Now, non-mothers. I was losing the youth guys here for a little bit, so you're back in. So this sermon is not about me, right? This is Mother's Day sermon, but I couldn't let everyone else off the hook. We are all called to be servants. This is not just a mother thing. Mothers need to be servants. The rest of us can go have fun. But no, God calls all of his followers to be servants. If you are single, Paul says he wishes everyone was single. Why? Because marriage is a horrible thing? No. Because married people are not as free to serve God as single people. They have responsibilities at home, and husbands need to take care of their wives. That takes time. Wives need to love their husbands. That takes time. They need to care for their children. Single people can be a great asset to the kingdom of God. There is a place for single people. I need to support my family. I can't help people as much as I would like. I would love to just help people all the time. I need to work. Singles are in a position to serve God with their time and money. You have the freedom to serve God with your time, with your money. You also are in the position of wasting a great deal of time living for self. So there's little responsibilities and you have choices to make, but you are in a position to serve self full time. There's not much that you need to do for others. There's some thoughts that, well, if I'm going to go on this trip or if I'm going to buy this motorcycle, I need to buy it now before I get married because then I can't live for self. There's nothing wrong with buying a motorcycle, and that's not what I'm getting at, but I do think single people need to be careful about using the time that you have right now to not get in the habit of living for self, to get in the habit of living for others. You have a limited amount of time. Not just go to work and look forward to the weekend so I can do something fun. There's got to be a little bit more to life than that. You're in a position to serve. Develop the heart of a servant when you are a youth. There's not a magic switch that goes off and all of a sudden when you get married, you're a serving person. That's not how it works. If you want to be a good, loving, submissive wife or a good, loving, servant father, you're going to need to practice that right now. I want to be a great 60-year-old who's mature and has wisdom. That starts right now. And if you want to be a good servant, if you want to have a marriage that works well and raise children well, that starts with developing servant attitudes when you are a youth. Singles, or those with no children at home. There are ways to serve, but you might need to look for them. It could be VS, like volunteer service. That's a pretty obvious way to serve, and that is a good, legitimate way to serve, and it's a blessing that we have VSers. But it doesn't need to be that way. It could be teaching Sunday school. That's a valid reason. That's a valid service. Do you have nieces and nephews? You might be single. Do you have nieces and nephews that you could influence, that you could help? Are there younger boys and girls to influence in church? I was 12, 13 once, and those 16, 17, 18-year-olders, they were pretty influential. They were pretty big. Are you willing to talk to them? Are you willing to spend time with younger ones? Are you willing to help a busy family? We have lots of busy families. Trust me, some of the women here would love some help. Are you willing to help? So people without children, you have time right now to serve the kingdom of God, or you have time right now to get into a habit of serving self. I am not anti doing fun things, but don't live for that. Live to serve others. That is the mind of Christ. All right, you're off the hook now. So we can keep on going to verses 5 through 8. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So here we have the example of Jesus, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, which is about the farthest thing that he was in heaven. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is our example for taking upon himself the position, the form of a servant. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Servanthood involves humility and death. Servanthood involves a cross. We will most likely not die for being servants of Jesus. There are people around the world that do die for professing to be servants of Jesus. And that's a possibility for us. But most likely we will not physically die. But in marriage and parenting, and I think especially motherhood, there is a decent amount of death to self. Servants serve others, not self. Self constantly wants to be on the throne. In our whole lives, there's going to be a big struggle with self. This is not just mothers, this is everyone again. We're going to constantly struggle with self. In your teens, you're going to struggle with self. In your 20s, you're going to struggle with self. In your 30s, you're going to struggle with self. In your 60s, you'll still be struggling with the self-will. In your 90s, you'll still be struggling with self-will if you live that long. Self was always there. Motherhood has its crosses to bear. Motherhood is a great privilege, but there is a cross to motherhood. It's not just all flowers and roses and have the best attitude and life will be peachy. There is work, and there is self that rears up in motherhood. Screaming baby. Does self want to rock that baby? Does self want to get out of bed? No. There is a battle between self, constant death to self. If I was a mother, there's lots of things that I wouldn't want to do. There's lots of little things that's kind of like death to self by a thousand paper cuts. It's not huge. This is just an immense struggle with self. It's little things. I don't want to do another load of laundry. I've never been a mother, and my laundry experience is minimal. But I can imagine that's death. That's death to self. I don't want to do it. Myself does not want to do that. I don't want to wipe that snotty nose again. That's death to self. I don't want to change that diaper again. I don't want to go grocery shopping again. I just went 2 days ago, and I can't believe I forgot that. Death to self again and again, just little tiny things where mothers constantly need to say, all right, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. That is death to self, not doing what you want to do. Another aspect of motherhood is a death of pride. Daddies can come home from work, and mother's at the end of her rope, and daddy comes in and doesn't appreciate anything she's done for the day, doesn't say anything about the meal, and all the effort it took to prepare when she didn't have the time to do it. Daddies can be pretty tone deaf. We can be thoughtless toms. Just kind of wala la la la, mom will take care of it, and heads in the sky, and don't really, not saying we don't care, but we don't realize. But my question would be, are mothers serving, or are they seeking the approval of men? I will serve so that I am recognized. Is that serving others, or is that serving self? And I think this is not just a female issue, this is a male issue too. Lack of recognition can be an area where mothers really struggle. When's the last time mothers were really recognized in your personal house? I really appreciate genuinely what you do. Males can have the same thing. I don't feel appreciated at work. I don't feel appreciated. People don't understand how hard I work. How hard I work in the church. How hard I work at home. How hard I work. People don't appreciate that. Is that the mind of a servant? Is that the mind of Christ? Or is that self and pride rearing its head? That you need to appreciate me and pat me on the back so that I feel good about myself and the work that I have done. We can be guilty, not just mothers, but fathers as well. We can be guilty of our pride just clamors for recognition. And mothers have a cross to bear that they need to sacrifice that. I'm not going to always get the recognition I want. Ephesians 6:7 says, to serve as unto the Lord and not unto men. One day in heaven, all of our works will be revealed and God will say, well done. We need to serve as unto God, not unto men right now. That is a cross to bear that mothers will not get all the recognition they deserve. I can preach a sermon, that's great. 6 months from now, mothers still won't be getting the recognition they deserve. There's a lot of work that will go unnoticed. But serve God. Don't just do your work unto men. Now, since we're on the topic, men, we do need to appreciate our wives. And we do need to appreciate them and tell them verbally that we appreciate what they have done. Too often we have a good meal and we stretch, pat our bellies, and they're supposed to put the rest together. But we need to verbally tell them, that was a good meal, and I appreciate you and the work that you do. Too often we are nonverbal, and they're supposed to piece together our appreciation. Another way we do need to die to selves, mothers specifically can need to die to selves, and this is maybe a father speaking here as well. Disobedient children can make you die to self. They've helped me to realize my pride. A child being disobedient in church, they get taken out and disciplined. But the question is why? Why are they getting disciplined? Is it because they did something wrong, or because my pride is hurt that I don't look like a competent father whose children sit well in church? And the same can be done at home. Children are not listening. Are they getting disciplined because they're disobeying, or because mother is realizing that her house is not run as she would like it? Is the pride hurt, or is it disobedience? Myself has had to die, and some of my pride in my child rearing has had to die when I realize that I'm sort of disciplining because I'm embarrassed, and my pride is hurt that my house isn't as smooth as I thought it was. We need to discipline disobedience, not hurt pride. There's a lot of areas in motherhood that bring death to self. I just listed a couple, but there's 20 more. But death to self makes you more like Jesus. Every time self dies, become a little bit more like Jesus. And there's just thousands of little things in specifically mothers' lives that push them to be more and more like Jesus. The more you die to self, the more and more you become like Jesus. The more you serve, the more you become like Jesus. Last point I'd like to look at is weariness. We have a lot of young mothers, and I think we have a lot of weariness. Unless you all are super mothers, I know my wife gets tired and doesn't always feel like doing the next thing on the unending list. There are many mothers here in the tired stage of life. There's lots of little people running around after church, and they take lots of energy. But do not grow weary in well-doing. For Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So you're not supposed to grow weary in well-doing, but what is well-doing? Oftentimes we think of well-doing as doing good works. Well-doing is baking cookies for the neighbor and taking them. Well-doing is visiting someone's dad in prison. Well-doing is paying for the person behind you's groceries. That's well-doing. It has to be big things. Well-doing can be much more practical and actually attainable in your daily life, and you might actually be doing it. Sometimes we put good works is way out there. I'm not possibly doing anything good with my life. I'm just keeping on. I'm wasting opportunities. I like to think about when daddies do good works in the house. So, I don't know what your home cultures are like, but in our home culture, if daddy changes a dirty diaper, he expects some words of affirmation for his good deed. That is a good work. When daddy makes supper, that's not in my job description. I deserve some words of affirmation. That is a good deed that I didn't need to do. That might not be healthy, but that is sort of the expectation. So when daddy does anything that he thinks is deserving of praise, that is a good deed, right? All of a sudden, when mommy does those things, no one notices. It's a good deed when daddy changes the diaper, but when mother changes the diaper, it's in your job description. It's like, no, that's actually a good deed when mother changes the diapers. That is doing a good work. Somehow they get taken for granted. But that is doing well. That is well doing when you wash the laundry. That is doing well. If I would wash the laundry, I would say that is daddy doing well doing. It is also my wife doing well doing. There's no difference. Now you could get into responsibilities and that, but I think the point is the same. We can get a wrong view of well doing when we always picture it as someone outside of our family. you do well doing for the neighbor, or you do well doing for this person that doesn't know Jesus. We do a lot of well doing in the family, and I think there is purpose in that, and it is not second rate well doing. It's really good if you care for this person out here, and I mean, you're just supposed to care for your family. Of course you care for your family. That is just as important, caring for your family, as caring for the man on the street. Our children do count. If we would feed the homeless, that's great. When we make meals that we don't want to and we're dying to self, that is well doing. When you counsel a friend and listen to them and are there and pat them on the shoulder, that is really good. That is well doing. And it's also well doing when you listen to your daughter and you give some wisdom to your daughter. That's not second rate. It is just as important, if not more important, to raise your daughter than to counsel the younger lady in church. Your daughter is a younger lady in church. Your children are souls, and they are worth the effort you put in. So, to conclude, I'd like to look at the last part of that verse. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So we may reap the benefits in this life, and we might invest our lives. Women might invest their lives in younger women, and they may see growth in their lives and really have some satisfaction in this life for some of the choices they've made. They might see their children grow up to serve the Lord, and they've poured and poured and poured into those children, and you might see some return on investment in this world. But you might not. It's possible that you might never really see a ton of material blessings from all of your labors in this world. So I was picturing important people in heaven, and I don't know what your pictures of heaven are like, but when you picture who's going to be sitting close to God in heaven, in my mind, it's the big names. There's George Whitefield, John Wesley, Billy Graham. The big evangelists are going to be big in heaven. That's not necessarily true. All that those mass revival leaders did was be faithful to God and what he called them to do. And all that many of you mothers do is being faithful to God and what he has called you to do. That is not a lesser calling, and I don't think that is even a lesser reward. God happened to use those men mightily. That doesn't make any difference in reward in heaven. Those people that might be seated closest to God in heaven could be normal moms who were faithful as much as they were able to do his calling, and they loved Jesus, and they were faithful in where he had called them. I don't think you get bonus points for number of souls converted. Well, you got 10 million souls, you are got a good seat. I don't think that's how it works. God determines rewards based on faithfulness. I wrote this up here because I thought it summed it up well. God rewards us according to our faithfulness to the task he has given us, not the size of the task. Motherhood can feel like a small task in the grand scope of the kingdom of God. I'm not doing big things. I'm not going to Africa. I'm not doing this, that, or the other thing. I have just a small task. You do. In the grand scope of the kingdom of God, raising my five children is a small task. But God does not look at that task and say, you're not important. God will reward us according to our faithfulness to do his task. So I would like to praise the mothers here. It is a small task, and it is a big task. It's both. It's a very important thing to do, and I want to bless each one here that's doing it. I have more appreciation now than I did 5 years ago for mothers. Like Walt said, I wouldn't make a very good mother. Men are designed to be men, and women are designed to be mothers. And for the singles, you might not be a mother now, and you might not be a father now, but practice being servants. Because that, ultimately, in Philippians, this is not written to mothers. This is written to everyone. Mothers especially need to be servants, but we all need to be servants just like Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that your Son came down in the form of a servant and died a death on a cross for us. I pray that we would live redeemed lives, that we would live lives of service to you, and that every knee would bow, and that we would recognize you as Lord and us as servants. I pray that you would show us where we can serve, where we can build your kingdom. I pray that we would be faithful to you and serve where you have us. Praise your name. Amen.